Scientists issued a dire warning in the latest issue of the journal Science. Ocean wildlife may be facing a mass extinction. According to new research, humans have profoundly decreased the abundance of marine life, large and small, and it could have a cascade of damaging effects on ocean ecology. Some good news, though, it might not be too late to turn things around. Douglas McCauley was the lead author of this study. He's an assistant professor and marine biologist at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Douglas, thanks a lot for joining us.
Rob, thanks for having me on today.
Now, you say when we compare ocean animals to land animals, there's a relatively low rate of extinction in the oceans right now, but it may be a prelude to a similar big extinction in the seas. Why is that?
Yeah, that's precisely it. So if we actually look at the numbers on land, they're really quite frightening. So a lot of scientists have sort of summed up the rate of extinction on land as building towards the sixth mass extinction. And so that's just a way to state that the rates of extinction are now coming close to historical extinction rates that we saw millions of years ago, and some of the truly life-changing events on the planet, that humans are actually, on land at least, beginning to take on the form of an asteroid impact in terms of their impact on wildlife. So the story in the oceans seems to be a bit different and a happier status. So in the past 500 years on land, we've seen 500 animal extinctions, 500 animal species go totally extinct. In the oceans, in the same time period, we've only seen 15 animal extinctions. So why is that, right? As you say, I think a large reason for that is that humans have just been a bit slower at getting into the oceans and doing the same thing that we've done to terrestrial ecosystems and terrestrial wildlife. And we're a terrestrial animal ourselves, and so we're just a bit behind the curve in terms of hunting and damaging marine habitats. And that gives us a chance also, as you say, for recovering this damage, this early damage that we see in this report.
And you just said the two key phrases, I think, hunting and damaging habitats. Which is the bigger problem? Is it, we hear about overfishing sometimes. Is that a main cause in potential extinction, or is it habitat change?
Those are the two drivers that we examine in this paper, and there's actually an interesting relationship between the timing that these drivers line themselves up. So there's actually a lot to be learned by looking to the history of the way that we've impacted wildlife on land to counterintuitively get a sense of how we may impact wildlife in the oceans and how actually to chart a better future for wildlife in the oceans. So what happened on land was we began hunting animals directly. We needed fur, we needed meat. Then we switched over to actually hunting their homes, to degrading habitats, to drawing the same resources out of terrestrial space that these animals, these terrestrial wildlife themselves needed. And that we saw those rates of habitat degradation spike about the same time as the terrestrial industrial revolution. Now, exactly that same time that we were switching over to building out our cities onto terrestrial wildlife habitat, drawing out resources and degrading land animal habitat, we saw a major spike in extinction rates. Now, where we are in the oceans seems to still be at phase one, hunting animals. So the reports you see largely that summarize our impacts on marine fauna, on sharks, on tuna, on whales, are focused on describing the impacts of overfishing, our harvest or our hunting of these animals. But what is a little bit frightening for us and what we describe directly as a potential transition point in the health of the oceans is that we're switching now, it seems, from hunting the animals to degrading their habitats. We may be looking at this same sort of phase transition in the oceans that we saw occur on land with very frightening consequences for extinction of terrestrial land animals.
Well, obviously, we're not building our cities out in the middle of the ocean. So what human behaviors, what human impacts are degrading habitats in the oceans?
Right. So we review a bunch of different indicators of growth in marine industry. And, in the United States, of course, we're not building out many cities or communities into the oceans. But in other parts of the world, particularly in places that are land stressed, they are actually building suburbs, airports, military installations directly into the oceans. So that's happening elsewhere, not so much here in the United States. But what is happening along our coastlines, both east and west, is a change in the rate that we're taking forward marine industry. So we're farming. For example, we're farming with much greater intensity now in the oceans than we ever did before. The the, as I was saying, in sort of phase one, this hunting phase in the oceans, most of our meat, most of the fish, the seafood that we took from the oceans came from things that we wild harvested. This is sort of free-range marine meat, right? Now it looks like projections for the world, at least, say that in the next 20 years or so, we're going to be taking more of our meat from aquaculture, from marine farming, than we do from marine hunting. So aquaculture is growing gangbusters across the world, even in the United States. There are a lot of other marine industries sort of taking off. Another one that we want to keep our eye on, I think, that scientists and ocean managers want to keep a close watch on is marine mining. So we've actually laid out stakes across the seafloor the same way that we laid out stakes on land during some of these, you know, mining rush periods. There actually seems to be a sort of gold rush underway in the ocean, not for gold, but for other more rare minerals. We've laid out stakes for mining in about 1 million square kilometers of seafloor, and next year, or potentially even this year, we may start mining that sections of those sections of seabed. Other industry, you know, includes building power plants, modifying ocean habitats and coastal habitats for life and infrastructure on the coast, and the sort of list goes on and on. And when we look at all this industry, it's not only that there's more and new kinds of industry, the rates at which we're developing our oceans in each of these different industrial categories are going way up, have been going way up in the past decade.
A listener named Michael called wondering how mass extinctions of the ocean could affect global warming. I want to flip that and hear it both ways. Is global warming, climate change, playing a role in this potential for animal extinctions in the ocean? And could there be a feedback effect if we see these extinctions? Does it change our climate change situation?
Right. Well, let me take it first, climate change's role in influencing marine animal health. That's a there's actually answers for both sides, and I'm glad we actually get to talk about both sides of this coin. But traditionally, and the largest concern among scientists and managers of the oceans right now is, how is climate change actually going to be impacting the health of marine wildlife? And there's lots of things that we can do to the oceans to help rehabilitate, to help sort of avoid this sixth mass extinction from spreading from land into our oceans, you know, build larger marine parks, be more careful about which species we harvest. But all of these actions, if we don't pay attention directly to climate change, will not be enough. So what climate change is doing is it's heating up the oceans, and it's also acidifying the oceans. And you know, anyone who keeps a fish tank knows that if you turn the temperature knob up a bit on your tank and pour even acid into the water for some unknown reason, that will cause your fish to not fare well, right? That's what climate change is doing to the oceans, and wildlife are having a very difficult, marine wildlife are having a very difficult time coping with this increased temperature and these rapid rates of marine acidification. Now, to sort of look at it from the other perspective, there are actually a handful of wildlife that we know that indeed affect carbon cycling in the oceans and may actually be playing a role in carbon sequestration. So one good example is sea otters, right? You know, we think of them as being cuddly, cute parts of ocean biodiversity. Well, it seems that their effects, they're voracious predators, right? Their effects on herbivorous invertebrates, so things like sea urchins, by mowing down these sea urchins, they actually facilitate the growth of kelp forest communities here along the west coast of the United States. And that kelp forest, just like forests on land, sequesters quite a lot of carbon. So, you know, in addition to being sort of a neat, charismatic addition to biodiversity in the oceans, these things are actually facilitating carbon sequestration, which may be slowing the advance of climate change.
Now, you're based in California. We're based here in Wisconsin, about as far as you can get from oceans. Oceans aren't necessarily on our radar here. Why should we be worried? Why should we be looking to be part of the solution to the problems you're talking about?
Well, a lot of the things we do in any part of the planet, in Wisconsin or otherwise, influence the oceans quite directly. So, you know, as we're just talking about climate change, you wouldn't think, you know, as a citizen of Wisconsin, what you choose or how you choose to commute to work will influence oysters off the East Coast or tropical fishes in Central America. But indeed, actually, they do. So all of our decisions we make in our everyday lives about how we use carbon and use energy help to determine whether climate change is going to speed up or whether we're going to effectively be able to slow this thing down, to slow the momentum of climate change down. And those kinds of decisions in aggregate made by people in all of our states will help to determine whether these rates of warming and these rates of acidification are going to go so fast that ocean animals can't adapt, or whether they're going to proceed slowly enough that adaptation can take place. And we see this wonderful capacity for marine wildlife actually to deal with some of this stress, just so long as it doesn't happen too quickly. Another thing that is completely relevant, to somebody in Wisconsin is what we buy. So we're consumers. All of us are consumers. Many of us, most of us, are consumers of wild ocean animals. You know, this is seafood, right? So there are counterintuitively, counter to what we see in our terrestrial meat section, you know, the poultry section, the beef section, you would never find an endangered animal sitting in one of those sections of your supermarket or sitting on a menu in a restaurant. You wouldn't find bald eagle in the poultry section or offering in your favorite chicken restaurant. But we actually see bald eagles, essentially, of the oceans turning up in your seafood section, in your sushi restaurants, in your seafood restaurants.
And we'll leave it there. Douglas, thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet, Rob. Thank you very much.
That's marine biologist Doug McCauley of the University of California, Santa Barbara, the lead author of a new study that says our oceans may be on the verge of a mass extinction.